but there is an awakening here, and a poignant sorrow for wasted opportunities. That is all. I'll go now, stranger." Then Mary added, "He did not get his whole message through because words failed him, failed to express his deep feeling and his desire to send a bombshell of truth into the midst of his old political associates. But perhaps you can get his feeling, his unrest, and his desire to do something to make things different. We wish you to look back and see who could come to you out of the past. It is a man who lived to be old on earth, but who has renewed his youth here. After some efforts he was recognized. I did not think you would remember," Sis replied. "No wonder you wanted to come and talk. You did not believe in anything like religion when on earth." "No. I had a life without the vision of any hereafter. I was antagonistic to religion and to what I had heard of God. We think strange thoughts over there, with only the human mind and human experience to help. I was moderately happy with my books and my solitude, but by and by sickness came. I went to a hospital and never came out of it into the earth life again. Will you imagine me in a hospital cot, baiting the world, the future and the past, and wholly disbelieving in any kind power above who would or could mitigate my disappointments and trials?" 37 Everything was dark semicolon and then came total darkness. That was years ago, I think. How I passed over, how I came into smothered consciousness, only to lose myself in sleep and unconsciousness again, you may guess. After a long time, years I guess, a partial sense of freedom came. I could move, could see dimly. I became conscious that I lived. But where? That I could not tell. Through it all, unknown to me, loving guides were telegraphing to my consciousness the lessons which would lead me into the quiet and take away the antagonism. It was a long time, but at last I realized that I had left the earth, left my body, lost the old antagonism, and was ready to learn. I will skip the rest, and tell you that my spirit powers are developing, and I look forward with increased interest and wonder at the life here. Wonderful. Wonderful. A teacher who comes to us frequently had been writing for us one evening and I commented on the character of the writing, saying I suspected its backhand style was much like what she used on earth. She replied, "I wrote backhanded, I know, but I do not believe I wrote well. I don't remember that I did anything well, just an attempt to keep soul and body together, comma, and I did not know I had a soul either." "Do you know how long you have been there?" "No, we lose out so on time, and I have not thought much about it. I did not count time much in life, it was just many weeks that came and went, and one hard task after another. Oh, the change! Can you wonder that in the bliss of this life, with all that it means to me in every happy moment, that I forget those weary distracting days? Are your parents on that side?" "Yes, but I do not see them. Each to his own place, as the Bible says. I know that there was no congeniality between us. We tried to do our duty and that was all." "How old were you?" "Something over 30. But the years have all dropped away from me now, and when in some instant of remembrance I see that wrinkled, careworn, ignorant and unhappy woman, I can scarcely believe or realize that it was I. But we must have a happy thought to part with. This is an awful picture that I have looked back upon. What picture shall I present? What but joy? Joy. Fullness of joy and love unspeakable. One day when I was away from home, Sis received the following through the pencil: "We have something for you, for there is one here who knew you long ago, a former companion, we think. She went to school with you." The name of Grace Gordon came to her mind, a schoolmate who had passed over when scarcely more than a child. 38 We think it is she. Did she not tell you her name? Names do not always count here, anyone can assume any name for the time being. We recognize more by the spirit impression. We feel the truth of the recognition much as you describe your sensation: colon is an electric thrill which assures you of the truth of the communication, or of the person. And so, Grace Gordon, you are really here?
Yes, I am here, and it is many years since I came over. We were playmates, though I lived rather far away, and I came over here so soon. I remember how puzzled we were over your illness. I was frightened when I began to believe I had to die, for who would not be frightened, brought up in the orthodox beliefs as we were? I grew so weak finally that even fear grew feeble, and then unconsciousness. Then an awakening, surrounded apparently by pure white light, with the feeling of wonderful life and strength such as I had not known on earth. Then the experience of a tender surrounding care and loving friendliness. Was it not a joy for a poor frightened child to come into such environment? What have you been doing all these years? Oh, at first just study and recreation, just getting acquainted. Then more study, an acquiring of knowledge with such ease that study became a delight. And so the years have passed, pleasure, study, work for others, and through it all an ever-increasing pleasure. This is life as we know it here. During a message that was given through my pencil, Sis had expressed some doubts. When she took the pencil, it wrote, "There is one here who would like to talk with you. He says, you are right to doubt all things unless they are proved true, but has not this life been proved true to you many times? We know your desire for tests and yet more tests. I will give you one. I am an old acquaintance of yours. Who am I? I do not know. Why is that a test? It will be if you can take my name either by pencil or impression. Stop now and think. You are thinking Willis, but Willis who?" Sis guessed several names but none seemed to apply. "You do not get it. We will try later." I then wrote again for a time, but Sis finally took the pencil and asked, "I am wondering if the Willis is not Willis Coleman?" 39 Yes. "Can he talk with me now?" "Yes." "Have you been there long?" "No, I have not been here long, but I found you were writing, and I have always remembered your name. Well, I imagine you would be one who would appreciate the beauties there to the full extent." "You are right, my highest hopes, my deepest reverence, my desire for happiness, could not have brought me into more perfect conditions." "Were you unconscious long after arriving there?" "Not very long, they tell me. I was ill for a time and left the old earth in an unconscious state. It seemed to me I was drifting, drifting slowly into the dark, but not a terrible dark, a time of rest in which I was content. Then into the darkness came a faint light and the light grew stronger and brighter, and through all my being there ran a thrill of life, life in abundance. Then I awoke to a vision such as I had never dreamed. Beauty, love, all seemed blending in one beneficent power about me, and I felt enveloped and translated into a bliss I had never imagined. Such is heaven. You had no sorrow for those left behind? Not then, the glory came first. Then remembrance came, and I wished to look back to the life I had left. They told me of you, and here I am. Well, I hope I can talk with you again? I am coming again, Mary says I can. Mary and Dee, your Dee, have charge of this circle. I would like to tell you of their beautiful spirits, but they place a silence on my lips. Another old friend was brought to Sis at another time. She asked, "Is this truly William Andrews?" "Yes, I am here. I did not know you were writing until a short time ago, and since then I have been waiting to get my chance to say a word. How strange. How very strange it is, because so infinitely different from what we were taught, and in our half-hearted way tried to believe when on earth. You find it so different then?" "Yes, although this is not the highest heaven, we might just say the border of the infinite kingdom. But all is so natural, all so beautiful, and so like our highest dreams, if we had such dreams and desires." 40 Yes, I feel myself fortunate to have had even glimpses. You may well be. I had only the old orthodox conceptions, a dim cloudy vision of harps and choirs and a sort of eternal Sunday. Ah! How I wish I could describe it to you. But I think I can only give you the idea of a natural life on earth, but with all pain and sorrow removed, all bickering, all quarrels, wars, or epidemics or disease, in fact all evil, all discomfort, removed, and only happiness and joyous health, and beauty of surroundings, and then friendships and occupations such as one's heart desires. I feared to come, and regarded the approaching end as a fearful calamity, never knowing that it was the open door to a country so fair that I could have no regret. Will you know me when I come? Why not? We cannot fail to recognize our former friends. That is one of the things that belong to spirit perception. It never fails. Well, The old world wraps people up in strange beliefs, and they little know the consequences of their mistaken conclusions. Are they always to blame? They reason from certain facts that come before them? Not entirely. But there is a simple law of cause and effect, and it is the working out of that law which may make or break the happiness of a life for a long time. You see such results on earth, do you not? Yes, but I hope that in heaven such mistakes were overcome? Not all. Mistakes can warp character and life interests and cast their shadow over this fair land. This doesn't sound like Mary. No, I am not Mary. Just a stranger who wandered in. I know what mistaken thought and belief can do, for I had worked out a very different theory of the final outcome of the earth life from that which I find here, and I too had to suffer the effect of mistaken judgment. It is all right though, I mean the law of individual responsibility. And out of our very mistakes and failures we often reap a veritable blessing. You see, human life is one of experiment and growth, failure and success, pain and pleasure, privation and privilege. But all of these qualities are weaving themselves into a strand of experience and wisdom. Don't you see? Character forming even through our mistakes and blundering. Never dwell on the darkened past except to let it lead you into brighter paths. I am not Mary, I have just drifted in. I am interested in getting information over to Earth people, but have not had much practice. I haven't much to say now, just a greeting from here. Can you think what a jolt it would be to some on that side if they really felt this was possible? But they do not believe it. That is the trouble, and they will not advance as long as they continued the narrow lives which at present bind them. Too bad, isn't it? Many of them are doing good. But how much more good they could do if they would only understand. Some do not make very good use of their knowledge, but with most it should startle them into higher thought and wiser action. Most of those who believe that life persists have such a shadowy belief, fanciful instead of practical. 41 We are bringing one to you who wishes to talk across the silence. He has not been here long and has not talked with earth people before. Then this newcomer wrote, Wonder of wonders. Heaven and earth brought together by a power more subtle and more compelling than words. I am the father of a family, but the first to cross to the unseen side. I suppose most people ask first for their families. But I am so sure that all is well with them that I wish first to ask. Well, I guess it is the riddle of the universe. For, why is life? Why the earthly before the heavenly? Why the ignorance over there? Why, oh why? When spirit from this side can influence souls on that, why the indifference and ignorance there of the one great truth, the continuance of life in the spirit, the continuance of life under new conditions for which we should have prepared over there. We asked if he had felt any interest in spiritism when on earth. No, not a particle. I thought it an idle study for decadent minds. I was not a church member. But I prided myself on the fact that I loved justice and honesty. Now I see that I had only a fraction of these, for I had a strong color prejudice, thought the white races owned, or should own the earth. I guess I was honest in dollars and cents, but how could I have been really honest when willing that a nation or a person should take away lands and homes from those who were weaker, Indians, Mexicans, and others of the colored races? Sis replied, I think you have answered your own question of why. You closed your perceptions to the higher thought of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Perhaps you are right, but it seems to me as if there were dynamic force enough here to rule the earth life. Sis asked, how about freedom of choice? There it is again. Mary has been preaching that to me already. Would you prefer to be an automaton, ruled by other will than your own? No. By all that is progressive and interesting, no. I guess you have the right end of the argument. The Chinese philosopher and religion, we do not make much of religion as it exists on earth. Creed and form are things of no value to us. But we do have at all times a feeling of reverence for, and frequently a desire to worship, the great creator. We see so plainly here the moving power behind all. We see so clearly that the design is planned to make man the culminating figure in the great scheme of things, and we realize so thoroughly the joy and beauty that accompanies man's progress, that we feel we must give thanks for the wondrous things that pertain to it all. 42 We do not have churches and congregations, we do not have ministers who pray and preach dogma and doctrine, but we do have great leaders who give much of their time in explaining and counseling concerning the progress of a human soul toward its ultimate goal. This goal we do not know. But we do perceive that it leads us more and more, closer and closer, to the infinite power that spreads like a protecting cloak over the entire universe. We feel many times that we do not deserve all the blessings that are poured out upon us. We feel so keenly the graciousness of the Great Spirit in allowing us to partake of all the joy and beauty, that we are filled with thankfulness, sometimes almost overpowering us and compelling a prayer of gratitude for it all. We have many philosophers who try to expound the mysteries of the future. We have a few mystics whose souls cling to the unutterable things which they believe await them, but with most of us, we are satisfied to move along quietly, filled with a contentment that is never marred. You will hardly be able to fully understand it until you come. In the busy material life, the soul usually fails to comprehend the grandeur of the Creator's great plan. You may at times think you have glimpses of this plan, but they are reflections only, the full light never reaches you. It is something to feel that there is a Creator, it is a pleasure to imagine there is a plan, but the full significance awaits your arrival on the spirit plane. Then our leader added, Mary says she has wanted to give something like that several times, but never seemed to be able to put it in words. We do pray here, we do worship, we do feel thankful for the many wonderful things which fill our life. But it is so unlike the churches there with their form and ceremony that we hardly think of calling it religion, yet it is the very heart and soul of religious experience. Thinking we were told that the following message, which came through my pencil, was from Professor William James. Critics may claim that it does not sound like his phraseology. They are ever ready to do that. But it should be noted, even by them, that it is quite different in style from many other communications in the book. And such critics should also bear in mind that we have been told many times of the difficulties surrounding the work of communicating, that the idea is impressed on the mind of the medium, but that the phraseology often takes on characteristics of the medium's own writing. When we use the brain to send out a new thought, we are performing an act that is as mysterious as life itself. No one knows how it is done. The process has been studied here for ages, and it is no nearer a solution. We believe that those on higher planes have arrived at some sort of explanation, but life and thought on higher planes take on an ethereal quality that we fail to comprehend. We know that the process of thinking is governed by what we term will. But this only complicates the problem. For we know no more of the working of willpower than of the formation of thought. They go together, that is all. 43 When one tries to fathom some of these mysteries, one realizes that the Creator was wise in making mysteries. Nothing stimulates endeavor more than an unsolved problem or an unexplained mystery. When we are willing to admit that there are no more mysteries, we must acknowledge that we have learned everything there is to know. And what would existence be worth then? To know is a satisfaction, but to know all would be stagnation. We believe that there will always be mysteries ahead of us to lure us on. We cannot conceive of advance without them. But when we are able to fathom some mysterious depth, we experience a sense of achievement that makes one of the joys of our existence. You will never feel a greater thrill than when you learn the answer to the question, what is life? But when will you experience that thrill? Not on this plane, not on immediate planes. Perhaps it is the greatest and final mystery. Perhaps when we solve that, we will have reached our ultimate goal. It is interesting to speculate on these questions. It is satisfying to feel that we are at least attempting to understand some of the problems before us. But when we stop and inquire what else we would have to live for if these were all known, we feel the future would be blank and uninteresting. When you find that life consists of problems to solve, you find some meaning in the evils and obstacles of the earth existence. No one could achieve much who met nothing to conquer. No one would find life interesting if he encountered no problems. We grow by striving. We enjoy by conquering. When life grows too distressing because of the problems and obstacles, there is always the knowledge that the greatest hindrances are soon to be passed, and that the future is one where we only strive as we feel the urge. In this future, no necessity demands our labor when the spirit falters. We have no more stimulating thought than the knowledge that we can make our greatest struggles when life is just beginning. That after the first difficulties, the difficulties of the earth life, are overcome, we can choose the time to try to solve other problems, to undertake other tasks. When life on earth is over, the greatest joy comes from feeling that one has mastered the difficulties it held in a masterful way, that is, that one has succeeded in accomplishing satisfactorily all the tasks that have been placed before him. You may never know the supremest joy of overcoming all difficulties until you arrive at life's goal in the infinite future. But you will experience succeeding joys that make existence worthwhile. After the above was written, I turned the pencil over to Sis, and Mary added, "We also wish to give you something about our own familiar life here. We are not always probing mysteries, William James to the contrary. Is he still there? No. But we will confess to him when he comes. We have our home life, a real home life of pleasant intercourse and occupation. 44. We have our studies, which of course do include some of the mysteries. And we have travel and entertainment in a thousand ways." William James forgot for the moment his own love of music, drama, travel, intercourse with friends, and all these go to the making of our happiness here. "Well, I am glad you have told us that we do not have to have highbrow mysteries all the time. We would be shut out if you did. This is D. You remember my despair when things got too deep for me?" "Yes. It is a little easier for you now, is it not?" "Yes, I have a better comprehension. But I do not have to go very far before reaching my limit, even now. Ghosts are the uneasy spirits who have left some earth duty undone or some wrong unrighted, and they try to go back again. The spirit of one who has committed a crime, or who has wronged someone on earth, is never at rest until the wrong is made right. Let this be a lesson to evildoers. There are uneasy souls here who never have peace because they cannot undo the wrong. Criminals learn the lesson too late, and if reincarnation were true, they would gladly go into another earth life to profit by the lesson they have learned here. We wish we could make this plain to all evildoers. Do you say they never have peace? Do you mean that literally? We mean it in connection with mortal life. Of course, the one who has suffered comes here sooner or later, and then the opportunity arrives for righting the wrong. We have many here who are making a study of these wandering spirits, and it is found that they sometimes seem to be seeking lost treasure which to them is of transcendent importance. We had occasion to speak of some ghostly manifestations which were recorded in the newspapers. There are certain dark phases of spirit life, and there are spirits who do not leave their malicious propensities on earth. We teach and control them whenever possible, and lead them into higher life. There are no prisons here for evil ones. There are no chains to bind them or hinder their progress. All we can do is to control through thought influence. But such natures do not easily receive impressions for good. The evil ones on earth cannot always be reached by pure and kindly teaching either. Those who are hardened in sin are long in changing. There seem to be more ghosts in Europe than here. Why is this? The old castles and houses have remained through many generations, have survived since the days of war, cruelty and oppression. They have given rise to many uneasy spirits, some working out their own evil propensities, and some trying to rise above their former state. America is newer, yet here are many who have committed crimes, and it is not impossible for them to appear. But you need not fear any interference. Do you see many of the murderers and criminals there? No, we are not their guides. That work belongs to the missionary circles here. 45. They try with unceasing efforts to bring them into an unselfish life. But the results are oftentimes slow and hard to see. There is still plenty of crime here. That is the result of long waywardness and evasion of authority. Such things do not happen suddenly. The preparation for this wave of crime has been going on for a long time. Something brought up the subject at another time, and we asked Mary to explain further. I can only repeat that the spirits of criminals often return and live over again the atrocities for which they are still suffering. It is the law of cause and effect. Their subconscious selves receive the impressions of their acts and beliefs so strongly that they are still bound by the old sensations and criminal instincts, and they try to reproduce the semblance of the crimes or incidents that caused these impressions, in the surroundings in which they occurred. They live it over again as an actor reproduces a scene he has memorized. It is through the terribleness of these scenes that they discover themselves for what they are. It is sometimes a lifetime before they turn away from their evil impulses. But it is this earth walking, this renewing of their past crimes in memory, that finally makes them determined to try for something better. Infants in Spirit Land. In the appendix to the previous book, Spirit World and Spirit Life, will be found considerable information as to how the little ones are met and cared for. In the following section is an account of our communications with two who went over as infants many years ago. They are not pure spirits yet, we are told, for then they would belong to the angelic host. They came as infants, but they possessed the immortal spirit, and they differ only in the fact that they have never known sin nor earthly life, material life, I should say. What do you have that they do not? We have the knowledge of good and evil, and the power of choice, and the education through this to help others who are still in the world of good and evil. But there are many other ways in which they can serve. These infant spirits are infants no longer, for they have been there an ordinary lifetime. They wrote one evening, "We think it is interesting to watch these messages to and fro. Can you give us a thought from Earth now?" 46. I don't know that this should have surprised us, but it did. We all at once realized that they knew nothing of earth or material things by experience, any more than we knew spirit life by experience. Sis asked if they could not see material things, they are untrained in that respect. What they would like to know is how you manage to live with all those earthly impediments they hear about. I asked if they had ever been brought in contact with evil on that side. Not very much. They could not become teachers, for they have no earthly experience. Their work is along other lines. They are trying hard to understand earth life, but many of its phases seem almost unbelievable to them. The crime and cruelty they only know by descriptions, but they look at it as an almost unbelievable fiction. They do not fully realize it any more than you fully realize this life. They have been taught and believe it as you believe some faraway facts of ancient history. Perhaps that is not a good comparison either, for you have at least some other earthly happenings to compare it with. But they have not, so it is hard for them to understand. They were much interested, as they said, and came often to the circle. Many months later we were talking with them again and the following was written: "We are learning the earth language, and often listen to the conversations between you and the circle. It seems very wonderful to us, very wonderful that people on earth are willing to live in the midst of such sin, misery, sickness, ignorance, and poverty, and all the other ills we hear you describe. Do you not see the ignorant and criminal ones who come over there? We are not really in touch with them, for we do not try to influence the earth-born mortals when they first come over. Our work with them is afterward in trying to help them to the various occupations here. You seem to come together, are you together all the time?" Mary says, "They came over so young that they received most of their education together, and they grew into a companionship that has become a habit as well as a joy. They are alike in temperament, so that naturally they grew into intimate companionship." I asked if such infants reached maturity earlier than here. "Yes, because they learn more rapidly. One of them came over several years before the other. He was far more mature than if he had remained on earth for that time. He met his little brother and was his helper for a long time, and his father taught him to love the family tie wherever congeniality existed. Then they took up studies together because both were interested in the same things. Having no sin or selfishness to overcome, I should have thought they would be on a higher plane by this time. They could go at any time, and they are connected with circles who are studying higher things. But their father preferred to remain near the earth plane, and they have." 47. Loved him and stayed with him. How does the earth appear to them? Mary says, "They look upon it as a mystery and, will you listen to them? We are not able to comprehend many things. We hear of the mechanical devices there and wonder much about them. We move in a flash of time. You are studying ways of getting about upon the surface of the earth, in the air, on the water, or maybe under the water. We have heard of your submarines and airplanes, automobiles and railroad trains. It all seems so slow, so difficult, so unnecessary. How do you ever find time to move from one place to another?